Good morning, everybody. Rabbi Yaakov Fish here. My new podcast, another edition from my new podcast, Let There Be Light, from sunny Jacksonville, Florida. Lots of mixed emotions here as I try to uncover the pockets of light in the world. In an ever-seeming dark world, as I think about what went on this past week, hundreds of rockets that were aimed at Israel by its enemies, and four Israelis killed, and just another round of the Jews once again being targeted for just being Jews and being killed for being Jews. And it's interesting, Israel is just about to celebrate its 71st Independence Day for its modern Jewish state. And we got to think about what country in the world would tolerate missiles being, aimed at its citizens. And just a few days later, Israel says, okay, ceasefire. And it just seems so wrong and just so misguided that once again, Jews are being killed just for, just for being Jews in their homeland. It's just, as Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again. But, upon a deeper look to what really happened, there was really a great miracles that took place as well. And that's really what I want my focus to be in my space here today on this platform. Because my podcast is not, as I mentioned, about, first of all, it's not about talking about current events, even though I just mentioned that, but just because it's on my mind, weighing heavily, of course. But trying to unravel and reveal the pockets of light in the world, because there's so much darkness. There are so many challenges, so many obstacles that we face on a daily basis, and that was just so glaring and just so daunting this week. So one of the things that caught my eye, I'm not sure how many of you paid attention to that, but there was a story in the Times of Israel that said Hamas said that this time they are going to overwhelm the Iron Dome. So the Iron Dome, I'm sure most of you are familiar with, that's the shield, the defensive shield that protects, the Israeli airspace from incoming rockets. It's a whole cool system. But this time they're going to overwhelm it. And the way their plan was, they were going to overwhelm it by targeting the city of Ashdod with a barrage of missiles that the Iron Dome would not be able to go ahead and handle. So within the space of 1 hour this week, they literally sent in or targeted Ashdod with 117 missiles. 117 a combination of missiles and projectiles and so on and so forth this past week, one morning this week. From 117 missiles and projectiles this week, guess how many made it through to Ashdod? One. Just one. Now, the Iron Dome had a 86% success rate. I mean, the rest of them, missed completely. Now, from the one that actually did go through, unfortunately, there was a tragedy and one person passed away. A young man, a Hasidic Jew that passed away this week. But think of that. One missile out of 117, penetrated into the airspace of Ashdod and killed one Jew. Can one imagine if 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 of these missiles and projectiles had gone through to the city of Ashdod? What would we be saying then? So I think it's remarkable the times that we're living in. you know, it's on the one hand, it's awful times that once again Jews are being killed in their homeland just for being Jews and wanting to live in Israel. On the other hand, we're seeing tremendous miracles. Reminds me of the beginning of, you know, the novel of Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. You know, it was the season of light and it was the season of darkness. You know, it was the spring of hope and it was the winter of despair. You know, but it was the season of light and it was the season of darkness. So we have the season of darkness and we have the season of light in front of us. And I think as Jews, we have to always focus on the season of light in front of us. What is our mission as Jews? And that's what I want to get to today. Because what is our core mission as Jews in this world? What are we supposed to go ahead and really focus on as our core mission? So if you ask ask a religious observant Jew, like, what is, what is your focus? What is my focus as a religious observant Jew? We say, so my focus as a religious observant Jew is to go ahead and keep the Torah and observe the mitzvahs. And I think we're so caught up in that. I don't want to be, you know, critical, but many times I think we're not just paying attention to why we're, you know, observing the Torah and keeping the Torah and observing the mitzvahs. You know, there's such a fundamental, you know, there's such a fundamental message at the beginning of this week's Torah portion as Jews once again gather around the world this week on Shabbos in the synagogues around the world. They will chant proudly the powerful words of Kedoshim Tiyu, thou shall be holy. Now the reason I think we don't pay enough attention to why we keep the Torah and observe the mitzvahs is it's to the, for that ultimate goal, to be holy. Meaning the reason why we keep the Torah and observe the mitzvahs is just a means to an end of being holy. But holiness is the ultimate goal. Holiness is the ultimate goal. But unfortunately, I think sometimes we just get too caught up sometimes in the rituals and the minutiae sometimes that we don't pay attention enough to the ultimate goal. You know, I'll give an example, somewhat of a comical example. You know, if I can, and, you know, please forgive me. I don't mean to be take this too out of context. You know, but just a little bit of a comical example. You know, now we're in the period of the counting of the Omer. So there's this law about the counting of the Omer. If someone approaches an individual of, during the counting of the Omer and says, you know, sir, you know, what's the count of the Omer tonight? And the individual is not supposed to respond by saying, you know, tonight is the 18th of the Omer. Rather, he should say, last night was the 17th. Now, the reason why the halacha explains one should not respond by saying tonight is the 18th of the Omer, because if the individual responds by saying tonight is the 18th of the Omer, it says if he's already fulfilled his mitzvah, and he doesn't should not forfeit the mitzvah. Okay, fine. Can you imagine if somebody approached someone else and said, sir, what time is it? And instead of saying today's right now it's 4 o'clock, he said an hour ago was 3 o'clock. Or 2 hours ago, it was 2 o'clock. We would think the guy's nuts, but we're just like, just like automatically, yeah. What night is the Omer tonight? Yeah, last night was 17. And we're like, oh, okay, sure. Well, are we paying any attention to how ridiculous that sounds? Yeah, of course. My point I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to, God forbid, mock the halacha. I'm trying to point out an awareness that we're so in the trenches, we're not necessarily thinking about the why of Judaism. We're not necessarily thinking about the why. We're so focused on the what all the time. And it's important to think about the what. Of course, it's important I spend, hours a day on the what. So of course it's important to be an observant Jew and to know the ins and outs about the what. but it's, we can never forget about the why of Judaism. The why of Judaism. The why of Judaism, when I say the why of Judaism, it's W-H-Y, is Kedoshim Tiyu. Thou shall be holy. That's the reason why we are Jewish people. That is the reason why God selected us at Mount Sinai and selected us as his people. As he told us right before we accepted the Torah. V'atem tiuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. You shall be a holy nation for me. Okay, so let me ask the following simple, inconvenient question now. When I say inconvenient question, because that may uncover an inconvenient truth. Now, do we know what holiness means? If the whole point of observing Torah and keeping the mitzvahs is for us to be a holy people, do we have any clue what holiness means? And if the answer is not really, perhaps there's something wrong with the picture. Because if God came to us before Mount Sinai and said, I want you to be a holy people for me, and that is why I am proposing to you, for you to accept, I want for you to accept my Torah. And we said, sure, Nasa v'nishma. We'll sign, and then we'll read the details. By the way, that's going to be a subject for a future podcast, probably, by the way, before Shavuos. You know, any Jewish lawyer and any accountant, you know, would you like to sign? Yeah, we'll sign first, and then we'll read the details. Like someone once said, we'll pass the bill, and then we'll read about the legislation. Nasa v'nishma. Aren't Jews supposed to be good business people? But by the way, that's a separate question. Nasa v'nishma. So God says, I want you to be a holy people for me. Okay, sure. So the whole message of us being an Am HaNivchar, chosen people, is for us to be a holy people. So God gives us the Torah, and he says, keep my mitzvahs. We're all in. And he tells us in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Kedoshim to you, you shall be holy. Keep my Torah, fulfill my mitzvahs in order for you to be holy. Do we have any concept of what holiness is? So I think this is so important. You know, we got to unpack this issue a little bit. What is holiness? So the first thing we have to understand, I believe, is that holiness applies to everybody. It's not just for men with long white beards and shtetls like hundreds of years ago. Holiness applies to every single person today in 2019, man, woman, and child. Everybody that has a soul within them can have a relationship with holiness. You know, so how do we understand holiness? How do we understand holiness? So this is the way I understand holiness. And I'm going to try to articulate it in what I believe is a user-friendly way, based on my studying of the Sfarim, you know, based on several years. It's not my own, insights, but my culling of, several works over the past years. But I just think it's such a fundamental message that we can't miss the boat on this. So God is holy. Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh. God is holy. But God's presence manifests itself in this world. And by God's presence manifesting itself into this world, by his presence manifesting itself into this world, we attach ourselves to that. And by us attaching ourselves to that, we are attaching ourselves to holiness. So the question is, how do we go ahead and attach ourselves to that? We attach ourselves to his holiness through the connection of Torah and the observance of the mitzvahs. But the observance of the mitzvahs and the keeping of the Torah and the prayers and the tefillos and all that is just because we want to go ahead and connect with his spiritual manifestation in this world. And they're all sorts of spiritual manifestations in this world that we can connect with. Like, so for example, when we say in the blessings, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu, we say that you have sanctified us with your mitzvos and commanded us. There's a spiritual manifestation of your presence in this world that we want to connect to that eternity in this world. We want to go ahead and connect to that nugget, to that light. There's so much darkness. There's so much evil. There's so much grief. There's so much, there's so many difficulties. There's so much challenges. B'asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu, we want to go ahead and attach ourselves to that light in the world. I think that explains a very powerful passage in the beginning of this week's portion. Because it says in this week's portion, Kedoshim to you, thou shalt be holy. Why? God says, I want you to be holy. Why? Ki kadosh ani, because I am holy. Let's stop right there. Does that not sound like a ridiculous verse? God says, I want you to be holy because I am holy. What does one thing got to do with the other? You're God. Of course you're going to be holy. God is expected to be holy. But why do I have to be holy? Because he's holy. He's eternal. I'm temporary. He's infinite. I'm finite. I'm just here for a certain period of time in this world. So of course he's going to be holy. What does that have to do with me being holy? But that here's the deal. There's a fundamental message over here in Judaism. That God's manifestation in this world comes down in a very profound and meaningful way that we can go ahead and attach ourselves to that through the Torah. Kedoshim to you. There's the light that we can connect to. And there are spiritual properties all over. I just want to give two examples that perhaps we don't necessarily pay enough attention to. You know, we're aware of it all the time. But we don't necessarily, you know, we talk about it in these terms of kedush of holiness. Food and sexuality. Why do I say food and sexuality? Because the Maimonides has a section, what he calls the Mishnah Torah, the Maimonides, and that's he codified Jewish law, what he calls Mishnah Torah. And what he calls Kedusha, holiness, there's two sections. Macholos Asuros, forbidden foods, and Isurei Bia, forbidden sexual relationships. So it's a little odd. In the section of holiness, he talks about food and sexuality. So Maimonides kind of set the bar. I'm just going to kind of jump in, you know, jump off that diving board over there. So what do I mean by that? So let's just talk about that for a moment. Food, first of all. So you have this delicious non-kosher food. Delicious. Let's talk about what makes something non-kosher. What makes something non-kosher? So the traditional answer is unclean. There are plenty of, you know, very clean kitchens, and there's like some like awful, you know, awful unclean kosher kitchens. You know what makes something? I'm sorry to say that. Please don't. I'd like the podcast to be shared. I'm not proud of that. You know, but what makes something kosher? What makes something kosher? We'll talk about two products, brisket, which is kosher, and bacon, which is not. What makes one thing kosher and one thing which is not? Brisket is kosher and bacon is not. Why? What's the difference? What's the difference? So the answer is that this is the way I would like to explain it with the concept of holiness. Now, there are spiritual properties on food. What? Spiritual properties on food? What does food have to do with spirituality? I go into the deli, I want to order a corned beef and rye. What does it have to do with spirituality? So let me explain it to you this way. You ever go to the store and you look at the bag of potato chips and you says, okay, this amount of carbs, this amount of fat, this amount of fiber, this amount of sodium. It's like, it's just a potato chip. Did you ever actually see a carb on the potato chip? I'm just looking at the potato chip. Did you actually see like the fiber? I'm just looking at the chip. But the answer is, of course, silly. You're just looking at the physical thing, but of course there's properties within the chip itself. Of course, silly, if you take it to the lab, you'll see the physical properties, the breakdown within the foods. So too, everything in the physical world, there's a spiritual world as well. There are spiritual properties. The spiritual properties have purities and impurities. And the impurities are not good for ourselves. Kedoshim tiyu, says the Torah. Thou shalt be holy. And if we go ahead and put that in ourselves, we are going to go ahead and put something corrosive into our souls. That's the difference between brisket and bacon. There are spiritual properties in the brisket, which is good for us. It may not be good for our cardiovascular system. You know, cholesterol may not be good for if we have it too often. You know, but the bacon has spiritual properties which are corrosive for our soul. Same thing with sexuality. You have two relationships. You know, what's the difference between one and the other? One, you know, the Torah says, if a man and a woman come under a chuppah, and they go ahead and sanctify this relationship under a chuppah, you have a manifestation of God's presence, and now this relationship has kedusha in it. It has holiness. It has manifestation of God's presence, not only into the world, but into this couple as well. And now this is considered a holy union. Not so with just two individuals that fall outside that category. So sexuality very much has kedusha in it, has holiness in it, has a manifestation of God's presence within it under certain circumstances. So the concept of holiness is a fundamental Jewish concept. So much so that when God proposed to us for us to be his chosen nation, he wanted us to be a holy people. And he said, I just want you to keep my Torah and observe my mitzvah so you can be a holy people for me. But many times I feel that we're just focused on the what, but we forget the why. The why is because we need to remember why we do it. And we do it because we have this holiness concept. So when we look around and we see all this darkness, all this grief and all this misery, all these rockets, all these challenges, we have to remember what the meaning of life is, what our purpose in this world is, why were we put here for. We have to remember our mission in life is to be here to lead lives of meaning and purpose, but to live lives of holiness, which means to go ahead and tap into the manifestation of God's presence in this world. And then if we're able to go ahead and attach ourselves even to a nugget of that, there may be so much darkness all around, but we can attach ourselves even to a nugget of that light, we'll be able to go ahead and cling to some meaning in this world. Until next time, folks, let there be light. Thank you for listening.